And if you'll take your Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And be looking at the first 13 verses there. The Gnostics of Paul's day claimed a hidden knowledge. Well, Paul here reveals a greater knowledge. There, so, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there should be about 992 in your pew Bibles if you're using those. Paul writes, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, as yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of the things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there were so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciences of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the better, or are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." How many of you this morning has really struggled with eating meat offered to an idol? I know this is a very issue is a concern to all of us, and Paul speaks to it here rather bluntly. But you know, for those who do not have that concern, this passage kind of seems irrelevant, because this type of idolatry is not really an issue for us. Now, we've worshipped the one God for generations, and Zeus and Artemis and some of these other gods mean very little to us. In fact, outside of Hollywood and perhaps the classroom, we probably wouldn't even know them at all. Therefore, the issue of eating meat which has been offered to idols is not too much of a concern for us. And looking at it from one point of view, this passage seems to be irrelevant. However, if we look at it from another perspective, it becomes vitally relevant. For this is not just a discussion about eating or not eating meat. It's a discussion of the relation between rights and responsibilities. It speaks to the question of the use or the abuse of power. And it addresses the comfortable complacency that settles down upon us who enjoy so many good things in the midst of poverty. Although Paul is addressing a particular problems within the church in Corinth, the principles which he applies are universal. And we saw that this passage does have a great deal to say to us. Corinth was a major trade city in which there were many cultures, and the temptation to conform to the patterns of the world was an acute problem for the Corinthian church. The idolatry of the Greeks and the Romans pervaded their whole life. It was easy for them to pay homage to an idol and still claim to believe in one God. After all, the idol was just a symbol of the God it represented. Therefore, they could pay homage to it, claiming that it represented God. And one of the aspects of idol worship involved sacrifices and offerings. And when an animal was butchered, the owner would take a portion of the meat and offer it as a sacrifice to his favorite idol. That meat then was sold by the temple priest at a premium price, believing that whoever ate it would find favor with the God to whom it was sacrificed. And those of affluence would often purchase this meat and then serve it at their dinner parties and banquets. And so it was inevitable that Christians would be offered such meat. Therefore, the question arose as to whether or not a Christian should eat meat that had been offered to as a sacrifice to an idol. A very important aspect of Christianity is the responsibility that we have toward one another. We are our brother's keeper, and we have to be. As a Christian, we are all one body, and a healthy body preserves and protects its members. You know, if your hand all of a sudden decided that it doesn't like what your mouth is saying, you know, it doesn't punch itself in the mouth. But in fact, it's just the opposite takes place. If the hand sees that the mouth is going to be damaged, it'll fly up and protect the mouth. Just our instinct does that for us. But what a tragedy it is when our example causes another to stumble, or if we allow a difference of opinion to disrupt fellowship. But we live in a society where the church is becoming increasingly secularized. Intellectualism is replacing spiritual.